Graveyard Shift is now a proud member of the Podbelly Network of Podcasts. Visit them at www.podbelly.com. And now, the chilling conclusion of The Bell Witch with Aaron Shields, Jeremy King, and Frankie Cambaletta.
God, I love you guys. I wish you would be more offensive about paranormal.
I don't like light.
It's a bit naughty.
I don't believe that it's all real.
I love you guys.
It's actually the most played podcast.
Life and death, or we're dealing with what is in between. Now tell it before it's too late.
Run to the light, baby! I have seen a ghost in my life.
I'd be more offensive about paranormal because that's what we do best.
Welcome to Graveyard Shift, the podcast from Shift Films. I'm Frankie Cambaletta.
And I am Jeremy King.
Yeah, so me and Jeremy were in Jamestown Island, and they had two amazing events going on. They had one was all the African-American free men and slaves that actually fought in the revolution. Huge thing. It'll be going on for 3 years. They're keeping it up for 3 years.
That's amazing.
And then they had, that was in York at the Revolutionary Museum. And then at Yorktown, so Yorktown had the Revolutionary one. And then in Jamestown, they had all the women of the Revolutionary era.
Dope.
Yeah, so they had all the warrior princesses. And it's a very cool tribute to all those different things. And so when you look at this case in general, even the self-proclaimed guy, Pat Fitzpa, who has the worst website ever on this, thebellwitch.org or something.
But he is the source that everybody that tells this story today on podcasts and television shows, he is kind of the source for this information.
It's like the Stephen Walker of Limp. It's like...
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, the truth is that like when you self-proclaim yourself, like even in his own book, he doesn't talk about this stuff. But even this guy does. The son does talk about slaves like it was no problem owing them.
Well, there's a lot.
You're at 1900, 1890.
Right. But it's written from a journal that was kept in, you know, much earlier. So context.
So do you not think from a contextual standpoint that this is all made up and they're just trying to allude to all the molestation and probably incest and everything else that happened in the house, like all the crazy stuff that's happening? They're creating this story, this hoopla, this sidebar conversation that they're trying to allude. Oh, we're beating, we're killing black people, we're raping our daughters. But let's talk about a witch. Let's create this mass illusion.
Obviously.
Okay, good.
So I'm not... Also, I think it's important to say poor Cana Lustos.
There's a new fucking twist on this story.
I think it's both. I think...
So do you not think that this is a guided sleight of hand, misdirection, magician's trick where you have so many terrible things happening in a house that you conjure demons? Probably, yes. Supernatural, maybe. But at the same time, the bigger issue here is the molestation going on with the girls in the house, probably the slaves, probably killing slaves, probably being cruel and mean, so much so that I'm sorry, but if a slave is going to kill an owner, that's penalty by death. That means that you're at a place where you're so furious that your own life at this point doesn't matter. And that says something more than a witch.
I honestly don't think it would be that hard for a slave to get to that point, because when your entire soul theoretically belongs to another human being,
correct,
that might make me want to kill that person after not that long.
But so, I'm assuming this is the same man whose wife was next door at the next neighboring farm.
You know what they say about assuming things. We can...
It's conjecture.
We can speculate that that's... But, and also we're taking this slave stance, right? That John Bell was killed by a slave for his lack of being able to protect his daughter. And because this slave, you know, really cared about the kids.
I'm sure they did.
So we're also taking that piece of the story from what a psychic says that we've never met and never talked to.
Right.
So this is all, I mean, it's all possibly, but I do think that there's a lot happening here.
But, you know, Gary Schwartz, Dr. Gary Schwartz, PhD, did a huge book on, I actually have it right here. Mm-hmm. And it's the afterlife experiments. And Gary E. Schwartz is no spin doctor. This guy has a PhD. He teaches, and his lab is at the University of Arizona. Mm-hmm. Mediums are probably the closest thing.
Oh, I'm not denying that at all.
So I think maybe that's this person. But see, what would count would
her
testimony.
Her testimony, her alleged conversation with Betsy actually puts pieces together mm-hmm. of a story that we would have never been able to put together.
No.
Without it.
And getting acceptance from the Bell family is huge.
And it makes sense.
100%.
It makes it all make sense.
Yeah.
So I'm not denying that. I'm just...
It's a dark and stormy night, guys.
I'm just pointing out that, again, this is all speculation. Because I think that that's important. I think the family is attempting to misdirect and pretend like it's not happening as that happens today. I mean, that happens all the time.
Sure.
Right? This is a terrible thing. Everybody wants to ignore that it's happening. This little girl is being harmed and she's getting, using your quotes here, beaten up by this ghost. What's not to say that as she's being molested by this family member that she's not collecting these bruises that way?
Correct.
And it's a really dark and unpleasant conversation.
Sure.
But it makes sense. And
it fits. I mean,
I think it's important to say that Betsy never denied the presence of this ghost. But I think that it's a combination of things. And I also think the family is taking advantage of the culture that they live in
mm-hmm.
and the fact that people are going to be really interested in it. And, oh, we can just say that that's a ghost and everybody's going to accept that that's a reality.
Right. But you also have to understand the power stride, right? There is a power stride about this guy because he's so powerful in the town, because he's an elder at the church, because he has money and land over 382 acres. He can say anything and nobody's going to come at John Bell and say, yeah, you're a fraud, you're crazy, you're a loon. And
but John Bell isn't the only one saying it.
He's not. But maybe he's having everybody say it, especially in the immediate family. You heard that too.
Yeah.
Like, we have to cover this up. We can never. That was the other thing too, was that whole saving face bullshit, which still happens today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't report this and no one can know about this and like sweep it under the rug. Even the fifth generation is like, oh, the family won't like this. Well, of course they're not going to like it. I mean, owning slaves, you have to keep relevant to the times. Simultaneously, you have to accept that you did it. You have to accept that your family did
it. Sure.
You can't hide that. Like, yeah, I mean, it was a fucked up time. Never me. I have DNA that proves that. Thank God. I know. So my apathy and my empathy for it is just like, if you've done it, you should totally own it. You should own the fact that you've...
Even the gentleman that was addressing it, I mean, whatever that says about them, he wasn't upset that they owned slaves. That wasn't the part he was arguing about.
Not at all.
I think that's a fact. I mean, again, you can't really fight that. They knew that. He's not happy about the molestation part. But again, he says it puts pieces together and it makes sense. So Poltergeist, the movie, is pieces of this.
Steven Spielberg.
Thank you.
Tobe Hooper. And Poltergeist has nothing to do with a poltergeist.
Cool. So Aaron says Poltergeist. You're saying it now. You're thinking that.
Well,
noisy spirit.
Right. What I'm saying is, this again is not an unheard of phenomenon.
No.
Right. That a small child would have a noisy ghost follow them around and rip the covers off their bed. And
according to Jeremy, and I think he'll back me on this, it is usually a female child when it's a poltergeist.
100%.
It's never really a male child.
It's not that it
has something to do with what, their menstrual cycle?
Well, puberty. At 11? It does, though. I mean, it could be at 11.
Yeah.
But it's going through puberty.
Mm-hmm.
It's also common with women going through menopause.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's my worst fucking nightmare. Can you imagine?
Oh, I start to go through the change and I have my hot flashes and I don't have any eggs and I'm not viable anymore. And then all of a sudden...
If you guys are hearing that crackling thunder, that's not sound effects.
That's real. You start
talking about the bellwoods.
Keep flashes coming through the living room.
It's just fucking creepy.
But all of a sudden, I'm just concerned about my journey through menopause.
I am very concerned about my journey through menopause.
That's the bigger issue here.
That is the bigger issue. Am I going to have to deal with a poltergeist?
You don't have to have bloody.
I'm not going to lie. I think if I go through menopause, it's a bigger journey.
Yeah, that's for
I
sure.
agree.
But aside from that, I think that it's the logical explanation to why strange occurrences are happening. The human body, especially the female body, is actually radiating different chemicals. So it's actually scientifically a
real problem. Scientific?
It's scientific that they're not ghosts. That it's
psychokinetic energy.
Yeah.
I just would really need to see some like information on it.
Yeah,
I'm just not sold on that.
We covered it a little bit, but at the same time, like to the effect of like a witch. First of all, the use of witch is completely wrong here.
Not wrong. Witch. It's contextual. Witch.
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
It's not. When I say witch, though, people are thinking Salem.
Right. No. 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 That's not what's
innocent
happening.
People hung.
It's not
impressed.
It's not a old bitty feminist.
No witch was ever burned in America, by the way. Just put that out there.
Another story for another day.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this is what people think.
Right. It's not a woman.
Right.
It's not a person.
It's not a neighbor that's putting spells.
Casting spells in Correct. Her house, right? This term witch is used in many different ways, but contextually, it's a spirit. It could be, it's a spirit. It's a ghost, an unknown entity of supernatural proportions.
Yeah, because at this point, the word witch in the Americas is actually, it's embarrassing what happens in Salem. Mm-hmm. And actually, a couple counties over, which we will cover in an episode, you should be on that one, where actually more witch trials happened. It was actually more salacious and more people actually died than Salem. Salem gets all the
about that a little.
Yeah, Salem gets all the lore.
PR.
Yeah, it's the PR, but there was actually a town right next to it that was worse.
Way worse.
And that's something that we should cover at some point. But to the fact that this is like the Bell Witch, right, is because of another story about a woman named Kate.
Right.
Who has to take over for her husband. Her husband falls very ill, and she was an eccentric, which basically means she was just creative and probably forward-speaking and didn't give a shit about
it. Well, her husband was sick, and she had to do things that she had to do things that men did, so she's eccentric.
That's right. And this is the kind of era we're living in, where people are flying, there's disembodied voices everywhere singing hymns, and there's Babbitts everywhere, and there's mystical creatures. And so,
and feminists are sending their specters to do their duty.
And feminists are sending specters to do their dirty work through menopause.
Mm-hmm.
They can conjure a spirit through menopause.
Gosh, we're so powerful.
It's also known as the hot flash.
Does it also happen when you're pregnant? Because I got those when I was pregnant.
Yes. And heartburn.
Oh, shit.
I mean, this is what the psychokinesis can do to affect an entire family, an entire community of people that can't say John Bell's crazy.
Your wife's just going through menopause.
Your wife's just going through menopause. And so there was a land dispute. There was a feud between the Bells, and Kate Batts was her name, Batts, not to be confused with Goodfellas Batts, but this is essentially an actual last name, not a nickname. And
right.
So Kate Batts dies, and then she sends her specter to haunt John Bell because of a land deal. And that's how that they start calling this phantom, this witch, this ghost, this poltergeist, Kate.
Yeah, because she swears on her deathbed that she will haunt John Bell.
Yeah. He's the reason, he's the problem. He mm-hmm. just hated him. And so in a town where this guy has so much power, oh no, we don't hate John Bell. You can start to put the pieces together of like, what is really going on here? Like,
but we should also
being exposed.
We should also say that this entity claimed to be several things. And
four different individuals, actually.
Right. And so this Kate Batts person is just something that they decided, that the community decided that they were going to hang on to at the time.
There was four individuals. There was Jerusalem, there was Kate, there was Cryptography, and then there was another entity of a
Mathematics.
Mathematics. And so, because math is fucking evil, though. I will.
I was going to say, they put the algebra in there, and oh my god, so it became a demon.
If you're gonna read something, I would advise heavily that you don't read when you can actually have the 56 page. If you have an Amazon Prime account, it's free. And this is actually the one written by John's son, John Bell Jr. It's a pretty good little 56-page thing called Our Family Trouble, The Story of the Bell Witch of Tennessee, Richard Williams Bell, edited by you can get this right on there right now on Amazon. I would read that one first. And then I would go to Martin Van Buren Ingram's book, released in 1890, called The Authenticated Bell Witch.
The Authenticated History of the Bell Witch. And Our Family Trouble was published originally as a chapter in The Authenticated History of the Bell Witch. So they kind of go hand in hand. But Our Family Trouble is the closest thing to a firsthand account that we have of this story from beginning to end. Now, there are a lot of pieces that are documented elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
that are documented historical markers in yes. Adams, Tennessee.
Which you can see on our Instagram page right now.
Right. That reference the not only the existence of this witch, but her presence at various locations in the town, which is very strange.
She also does great predictions.
Yeah.
She returns in 1828.
She seems to be all-knowing.
Yeah. She returns in 1828, 7 years, she says, after John says. So after John dies, and this is what I really want to get back to. I know it's conjecture. I know it's assumption. But from a detective standpoint,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing to me that John dies and the apparitions and the disembodied voices and the witch basically goes down to a hum. It's not around anymore. We're not hearing this shit anymore. Nothing's happening. And then 7 years later, miraculously, she makes this great prediction. There's this great prediction that she'll come back. So
she says, I'm going to come back.
Right. Of course
she does. It's not like she's predicting weather. Like, she's predicting her own behavior. You know, I'll be back in 7 years.
But once again, I believe that's bullshit.
Sure.
It's funny to me that, like, okay, John's dead, and there's, okay. And it literally says in his own chapter, in his son's writing, that it's so cool that this is happening outside right now, that the apparitions and all these things kind of diminished as soon as John Bell was done.
Well, I mean, if she was going after John Bell.
So she makes an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
She said 7 years. He dies in 21. She makes an appearance back in 1828. And then she does another claim that she will return, or 1827. Because she makes another claim, that she would return in 110 years.
I thought it was 107. Is it 100?
110, because it was 1937. I think it was
110. You're right. Mm-hmm.
So it's 1937, right? Mm-hmm. 1937 comes and goes, nothing happens.
That's not true. Remember,
So she makes a great prediction. Yeah. We'll mm-hmm. go back. So she makes a great prediction that in 1928 she'll come for Luce, who's now dying. The mother's dying, and then she'll make another prediction that she will come and return in 110 years, and that would be 1937. And so in 1928 she's there, at Luce's bedside. She's back, and she stays for 2 weeks, and they ignore her. They ignore it this time. This time they've found another approach to her, and it diminishes and goes away. There are no eyewitness testimony for the return. But then in 1937, something happens.
The return of the Bell Witch. In the January 3rd, 1937 issue of the Tennessean, Nashville journalist T.H. Alexander raised a 120-year-old specter. In his syndicated column, I Reckon So, Alexander shared a startling fact that his writing partner Ben Bass unearthed during their research for a magazine feature on the Bell Witch. And since its last reported appearance was over a century ago, the famous poltergeist of Tennessee was practically certain to return to this earth in this good year, 1937. So this is from TennesseeHistory.org, which discusses in a more polished form.
Right.
It's the history of the Bell Witch. You
probably have historians writing it that actually went to school for history.
Or at least something in the humanities that required them to write an essay. Yeah,
they didn't take two books, and God, the thunder is so cool on this. they didn't take two books and make the hamburger is what I like to say. Mm-hmm. Here's two books. Let me mash these together and make my own version of it. Don't know the guy. Glad he has a website for people to follow. But at the same time, like, there are real issues at stake here. And I think that, my opinion is that it was a ruse. It was misdirection to evade the family and the friends and the people of this powerful man, to look beyond what was actually happening into this fantasy realm of a bell witch that's disembodied and singing hymns and making all these crazy stories.
Now, my opinion. So, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I will say that while things seemed to stop happening for the family, there still is reported activity at the nearby cave.
Well, it's a cave.
Sure.
So caves are naturally active based on all the minerals. Not from a poltergeist standpoint, but from a scientific. They're constantly evolving. They're constantly changing. They're constantly making sounds. They're constantly... So if things are moving and people are floating...
There's a story of Betsy as a kid. Betsy and some other kids playing in the cave. Mm-hmm. And a little boy gets stuck in a narrow
passage.
Sure. And they can't get him out. And they hear a voice say, "I'll get him." And he feels a pull on his legs. So again, like, not necessarily evil activity.
Right. That's what's strange about the possession thing.
Yeah.
It keeps going in and out of, like, I'm going to be nice today. I'm going to be bad today. Like, I don't know that is also a mission of, like, a demonic presence.
Demon had possessed one of the brothers, and that's theoretically why he's
molesting,
hurting her.
A family
member.
If this
family member was in the cave to pull this boy out, they would have seen him.
Right. It's the same thing with the detective.
Like, it's a person.
The detective comes in, and you have to understand, like, me and Jeremy were in West Virginia, and when the lights were out, you could not see your hand in front of your face.
Oh, it was insane.
You could not. Oh, like, God, I'm not even fucking awful. Joking.
I had to use a flashlight.
It's pitch. You drowned in the inky darkness. It's nuts.
I don't like that.
And so I had to keep a light on because I didn't like it that dark. But at the same time, I'm thinking of what's happening to this detective who's being wrestled to the floor and pinned and beaten in the dark, mm-hmm. that he can't light a candle.
What detective are you talking about, Frankie?
So there's a detective that comes to the house that says, "I'm going to debunk this whole bullshit." And guess what happens? The witch doesn't make an appearance, doesn't say anything, waits till the detective goes to sleep. And then in the darkness of night, in the pitchness of night, he's sleeping on the floor. There's no fireplace. There's nothing. It's pitch black. He's wrestled. He's pinned down and he's beaten for 2 minutes until somebody can get away and light a candle and said, "What happened here?"
But so once don't they again, continue to hear a voice after the candle sure. is lit?
But this is a parlor trick. I think at this point, he's so shaken up about being beaten that he doesn't even stay for breakfast and he heads out of town. And he's the one that's going to be like, "Oh, I'm going to debunk this shit. That's what I do. I'm a detective and I don't believe in this bullshit. This is a way for the family to make money." And he's making all these terrible assumptions about Mr. John Bell, who gets very offended by that. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, when you're looking at these people, I think that there's definitely, there's a cause for skepticism. And I think there's artifacts that support that now. That might be loose, if you did more digging into it, I think you can get to the bottom.
I think you should always look for a way to be skeptical about about anything that has to do with anything paranormal.
So final
Absolutely.
Thoughts?
I don't think
Was there a bell witch?
It. Yes.
And you don't think you can do what?
I don't think you can, summarize.
Okay. I thought you were, like, scared to say something, and that's just not
no.
you.
No, I was not scared to say anything.
So what's your final thoughts? Well, you think there was a bell witch, or do you think there was something amiss? There was something bigger happening?
I think both.
You think both?
Porque
do you think
no los dos. Yes.
Why did you just order a Mexican dish? What did you just say?
Porque no los dos. Why not both?
Why not both? Yep.
It's like it's the old El Paso commercial.
I'll try the pork.
As long as it's not from a gas station.
So, Jeremy, what do you think? What are your final thoughts on it? What do you think happened?
Well, you know, I don't think it's a poltergeist because the events continue to this day. If it was a possession, I think it was a possession by a human spirit and not necessarily a demon, which it wouldn't be the only reported case of a possession by a human spirit.
But that's so powerful. That's my only question about that.
I don't think humans can possess other humans, though.
Well, there's one of the most renowned cases is the Watsika Wonder, where a girl came back and possessed a girl who was born right about the time she died, and actually went and lived with the possessed girl went and lived with the other girl's family for, I don't remember, it might have been a month.
That sounds like another case entirely. So your final thought is basically that this might have been a possession from another dead spirit of a human, which,
yes, from a,
and that's, because that's your opinion.
Sometimes it was doing evil things, and sometimes it was doing helpful things. Now,
that's actually that's actually a pretty good point.
You know, it wasn't, you know, not everything that it did was totally evil.
But,
well,
but
demons,
I will contest,
I don't think are, I don't, they're evil. Yes.
They're evil.
But everything they do, sometimes they do things just to poke fun at people. Mm-hmm. It's not always to cause immense immediate harm.
When they do stuff like that, it's still self-serving.
Of course.
And, you know, helping that boy in the cave,
right, yeah,
would not be self-serving.
If that piece of it is true.
Right. I mean, you got to assume that with the whole case.
You have to take each piece with a grain of salt. And when we're talking about it, like, if we're using each anecdote as all gospel, right? It's all true.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then we're not going to get anywhere. I think we have to accept that some of it is going to be.
Yeah, you're never going to know. But at the same time, I think that, I guess my biggest issue with, I like Jeremy's point where it could be a human spirit because it did help at times, but then I can contest that with memorization. The memorization of so much scripture, the memorization of so many songs and hymns, the placating to making fun, being inside a church, being inside haunted grounds. But you have to understand too that there was so much corruption going on within this community, as far as like if there was salacious nature happening in the house, which definitely happened, there's no doubt in my mind that something was going on in the house beside a Bellwitch. I think that at the other time that you have to look at when you walk away from Bellwitch and you've listened to other podcasts about it, I think that the perspective of Graveyard Shift is that it can always be bigger than ghost, it can always be bigger than possession, it can always be bigger. It actually, the worst thing about this case is that it might just be human nature. And human nature at the Great Awakening. And this is what life looks like. And I think that's a crazy way to view it. But at the same time, like, that's a scary thought, too, that we had to invent stuff because of the shit that we did. Like, that's fucking scary. More scary than anything.
Well, I mean, it was a brutal life.
It was.
He moved from North Carolina to Tennessee.
Yeah.
The Wide West, right, when there was nothing. When there was nothing out there.
And it could be a complete invention, basically covering up a child molestation, essentially.
Sure.
Right. Exactly, Jeremy. Like,
well,
what?
I think there has to be something supernatural involved. I think that there's too many.
They could have conjured it from the molestation.
I agree. I wish it would happen more.
It is an invitation. I wish it would happen more. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, I think that when you look at, you know, other cases of molestation, I wish that there were more demonic possession. I mean, it's the same thing that what happens in the Amityville Horror House. A lot of people speculated that that guy, the stepdad, was a molester and that the kids were done and they were tired of it and they were going to fucking go. And so was the mother involved, and he ends up killing them all. There's a whole side story about this other part of it, but we never get to it because we want the horror films. We want the ghost, and we don't want to ever, you know, stray from humans can't be that bad.
Right. Let's blame it on demons.
It has to be an invisible force that makes us assholes. Like, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, this will wrap the Bellwitch. That puts us right at about a two-part episode. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. Hope you hung in there. I think it's a good tale to tell. We'll have Aaron back for another case soon, probably the one that we were discussing about.
Putting a rock in our backpack at the Bellwitch Cave?
You yes. better fucking not.
Yeah. Yeah. We may not always believe or be skeptical, but at the same time, I don't want to tempt fate.
Listen, Gina.
Right. As always, I want to thank Aaron Shields for being our guest once again for season 3. Thank you so much. I want to thank Jeremy for all his heavy breathing that I'll have to edit out.
We're so happy you're here, Jeremy.
But I think this is
in breathing.
I think this is a good session. So from all of us here at Graveyard Shift, I'm Frankie Cambaletta.
I'm Jeremy David King.
And I'm Aaron Shields.
And we will be seeing you.